Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
For weeks, President Trump has had the United States Postal Service in his crosshairs. And last Thursday on Fox News, he said the quiet part out loud.
They want $25 billion, billion, for the post office. Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. Now, in the meantime, they aren't getting there. By the way, those are just two items. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting.
This admission caused outrage in Washington and beyond. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the chamber back to meet this Saturday with the hope of providing $25 billion to the Postal Service. And the House Oversight Committee has called on Louis DeJoy, the new Postmaster General, to testify next Monday. As we inch closer and closer to the November election, mail-in voting is taking center stage. Millions are seeking to use the Postal Service to submit their ballots amid the global pandemic. I'm Bridget Bergen, in for Tanzina Vega, and we check back in on the Postal Service and mail-in voting today on The Takeaway. Joining us now is Jacob Bogage, a business reporter for The Washington Post, covering the U.S. Postal Service. Jacob, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Amber McReynolds, CEO of the National Vote at Home Institute, which promotes access to mail-in ballots across the country. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you for having me.
Jacob, let's begin with the fight between Congress and the executive branch over the management of the Postal Service. What's the status of that today?
Well, it's heating up very early on today. News I broke this morning that the Senate on Friday will hold a hearing with the Postmaster General. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee will hold a hearing with the Postmaster General to look into these delays and also see what kind of financial assistance the Postal Service truly needs. As you mentioned, there's been this push and pull between the White House and Congress over who gets to exercise oversight authority, and that authority really does reside in with Congress, not the White House. And we'll see that exercised Friday, and we'll see it exercised Monday in the House.
Jacob, at this point, are there enough funds for the post office to successfully carry out vote-by-mail elections across the country in November?
Absolutely, there are. The Postal Service has $15 billion in cash on hand right now. If it somehow blows through that, which would be problematic. But if it somehow blows through that, it's got $10 billion more in a loan from the Treasury Department that it can access. That's plenty of money for the Postal Service to get through between now and November. It really should tide them over until between March and October of 2021. So when the president said he wanted to deprive the Postal Service of funding to facilitate vote by mail, that's problematic. But he's got one thing wrong, and that is the Postal Service already has enough money to do that.
What are the concerns you're hearing from lawmakers about how the post office is preparing for the upcoming election? And do these concerns really break on partisan lines?
The main concern, and this is something we've heard for some time now, is are these deadlines that voters impose on, that states impose on their voters for deadlines for registration, deadlines to get your ballot submitted, deadlines to request an absentee ballot, are those compatible with Postal Service delivery standards? In years past, the Postal Service has really gone out of its way, even on deadlines that it found unreasonable and incompatible with its delivery standards, to make sure that it devoted extra resources to those areas. And the message has been very different this year. The message has kind of been, we warned you, and now you're on your own. You should think about changing your laws. You should think about changing your requirements. But we warned you, and so if something doesn't get in, don't blame us. That's a very different tack the Postal Service is taking this time around than it had even in 2018. And that's what has a lot of people very concerned.
Amber, I want to bring you into this conversation. When we think about this November election, you know, how many states allow voters to cast mail-in ballots? And what does the process normally look like?
So every state in the country actually has vote by mail as an option to vote. That varies greatly. Some states, it's an automatic process where the government is sending active registered voters their ballot automatically. So that's actually much more efficient from an administrative perspective because they don't have to process all of those requests. And that's very much like the model that I helped to design in Colorado now 7 years ago. And then it goes to the other end of the spectrum where voters are required to provide an excuse. Sometimes that's limited based on age. Sometimes you have to have a notary. So it varies by state. But every single state in the country offers vote by mail as an option. So this is, you know, the impact of all of this is widespread. It covers all states.
And some states have expanded eligibility to absentee ballots because of coronavirus concerns. How many states have done that?
Well, there's been quite a few. In fact, we're actually now, as of today, given the recent announcement from New Jersey, there's now 9 states plus the D.C. area, so Washington, D.C., that is actually planning to send ballots to every single elector. Most recently, Nevada, New Jersey, Vermont, all passed legislation to send a ballot automatically. And then a lot of states have waived some of their excuse requirements, or they've added COVID or COVID concerns as an excuse. So there's been a massive expansion this year. But I think more importantly than even the legislative activity or sort of what politicians have decided is that voters are opting themselves in to vote this way in historic and record numbers. And so that's why, you know, some of these impacts with the Postal Service is critical. And, you know, one of the other aspects of this is, like election administration, like election officials, the Postal Service should be free from partisan politics, and it should be about service to the public at large. And so that's what I think is extremely concerning when we see any one of those two things, election administration or the Postal Service politicized. It can create a lot of issues, and both entities are here to serve the public, and that's the key and the most important thing that they do on a daily basis.
Amber, I'm hoping you can give our listeners some guidance, some best practices. Now, obviously, elections are administered locally, but can you talk about what voters can do to make sure that their ballots are being counted and received on time and cast properly?
Absolutely. So what's really important right now is timing. So the key today, I would encourage everybody who's listening today or tomorrow to check your registration. Make sure you're registered to vote, update your address if you need to. And then if you want to vote by mail, file the request today. We know in a lot of states that are not automatically sending a ballot, there's going to be a lot of people signing up. And so that's going to backlog election officials in terms of processing requests. So do it as soon as possible. And then when you get your ballot, send it back and turn it in as soon as you're ready to. The earlier you do that, the better it is. We recommend not mailing the ballot after 8 days prior to the election. Again, the rules and regulations vary by state. Some accept postmark, some do not. So a good rule of thumb for the entire country is to mail it no later than 8 days prior to the election, or drop it off in person like so many Americans are choosing to do across the country, which is why there's been such an expansion of secure ballot drop boxes manned by election officials.
Amber, I want to play for you a call from a listener about his plans for the upcoming election.
Hi, I'm Gabriel calling from the Bronx in New York City. I'm planning on either doing early voting or voting in person first thing on Election Day. I unfortunately don't feel like I can trust the Postal Service right now with Trump trying to destroy and gut it.
Amber, I'm wondering if you can reply to what you're hearing in that caller, that sort of juxtaposition of people making choices to find other ways to vote versus vote by mail because of this fight over the post office.
Well, I think that it is an individual choice and decision. However, what I would say, and again, as someone who ran elections for 13 years and served voters, I believe that voters having more days and more time to vote their ballot, make their choices, and turn it in rather than all on one day and sort of taking a risk that everything goes perfectly on the one day is better for voters to have that more time and more options. So for me personally, I like to have time to make my selections at home and research issues and do all of that. But again, it's a personal choice by all voters. I would say that I think a lot more voters like to have their unvoted ballot mailed to them, and then we're seeing a significant increase drop it off in person, which alleviates that worry about the post office and the ballot not making it in time. The second thing I would say is a lot of states and localities have also expanded what's called and known as ballot tracking. And that's very similar to tracking a package. You can sign up and get an email or a text notification about where your ballot is at every moment in the process so that you get that confirmation, especially when it's received by election officials. And that technology was pioneered in Denver, Colorado, and now it's in multiple states, including California, Michigan, and North Carolina, Georgia. They're all in the middle of implementing that type of system, as well as New Jersey. So there's been a huge expansion of that. We're going to continue to see more states announce those sorts of programs, and that just gives voters extra accountability and transparency as to where their ballot is.
Jacob, just briefly, you know, this is not just an issue for elections, right? The fight over the Postal Service is a fight over all the other things people rely on the Postal Service for a host of necessities. Can you talk about, just briefly, some of the stakes in this broader fight for post office funding?
Absolutely. So in the near term, we're looking at obviously so much more than ballots. We're looking at prescription medications that folks get in the mail. We're looking at bills and paychecks if Congress passes another round of stimulus spending that sends Americans checks in the mail. You know, those are, for a lot of people, are going to come through the Postal Service. There's a lot of reasons why a functioning democracy needs a Postal Service. In the long term, we're looking at an agency that will have to kind of reshape itself. I mean, the Postal Service is designed to deal with paper and not boxes. Well, paper mail volumes continue to decline. They've declined for a decade, and analysts say they're probably not going to come back up because who's sending that much paper mail anymore? But package volumes are going way up because everyone's buying stuff online because we're stuck at home during a pandemic. And the question is, if consumer behaviors stay the same and package volumes continue to increase, does the Postal Service need to realign itself to deal better with those items?
Jacob Bogage is a business reporter for The Washington Post, and Amber McReynolds is the CEO for the National Vote at Home Institute. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
We asked you, how do you plan to vote in November? Are you confident your vote will count?
Hi, this is Joy from Florida. In the November election, I plan on doing my regular Florida mail-in ballot, but I plan to deliver it myself to the Board of Elections. Our mailman is great. I have complete confidence in him, period. I just don't have confidence in the Board of Elections.
Hey, this is Chris from Seattle, Washington. Here in Washington State, I've been voting by mail for years without issue. Looking forward to that familiar process this year, and help the rest of my fellow Americans get to give it a shot as well.
Hi, this is Leslie from Bergen County, New Jersey. I will be voting by mail as I have for the past several years in New Jersey. They've made it really easy to do. I am reconsidering using the post office and may use the special drop boxes that will be available in our county. I will also be voting as soon as I receive my ballot.
Some of you told us you feel confident in vote by mail because your state offers ballot tracking.
Hi, my name is Don, and I'm calling from Ashland, Oregon. My wife and I moved to Oregon last year, where mail-in voting has been used successfully for many years. Registered voters here receive their ballots about 2 to 3 weeks before the election, leaving more than enough time to research the options. Voters can either mail back those ballots or use one of the many available drop boxes. Voter fraud in Oregon is taken very, very seriously, and there have been no significant issues with this approach since its inception. We feel confident that mail-in voting, it will work for us here, and it is certainly a more convenient way for us to do it, especially in the midst of the pandemic?
Yes, my name is Jane Feldman. I'm from Denver, Colorado. And we are very lucky in Colorado to have a safe, secure, and convenient mail-in ballot system. The minute my ballot arrives, I will fill it out and then drop it off in one of the 38 drop boxes that currently are in the city and county of Denver. And I'm going to do that in plenty of time. And then I will get a text from the city and county of Denver telling me that my vote has been my ballot has been received and that my vote has been counted. It's a great system. It is not fraudulent at all, and it really should be adopted across the country.
Hello, this is Marvin Ramirez. I live in Redondo Beach, California. I will receive my ballot in the mail. I have already signed up for ballot tracks. I will complete my ballot early and personally drop it off at an authorized drop-off center. I will then monitor its progress through the system.
And some of you said you'll vote in person despite the pandemic because you're concerned that your ballots won't be counted if you mail them in.
Hi, this is Lisa calling from Rainham, Massachusetts. And I'm calling to confirm that I will be voting in person in my polling place because I am concerned about the ability for my ballot to be cast and counted if I mail it. I also am voting in person because I have paper ballots in Massachusetts. I think that if I were in a state that used electronic voting, I would definitely do the absentee ballot and then bring it to the polling place and check how that works because I think electronic voting is very easily manipulated.
Hi, my name is George and I live in Berkeley, Massachusetts. I live in a fairly small town in a somewhat rural area. Voting is always pretty simple for us. The town does a great job, so I will be voting in person. I will probably vote early to make sure there are no crowds.
Thanks as always for weighing in. If you haven't yet, you can tell us how you're planning to cast your ballot this November. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.